Father, prayer. Father, send the Holy Spirit in. Lord, ask you to send your Holy Spirit to us tonight so we can learn more about you, to understand more about what you expect of us or what we have to look forward to. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're talking about the seventh and fourth commandments. This is about don't steal. So here's my summary. Okay. Seventh commandment says, thou shalt not steal. Don't steal. And the fifth commandment says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. So they didn't even think about stealing. Okay, that's it.
In class dismiss.
It's that simple. Okay. This is common sense, right? It's natural law. It goes along with our nature. Okay, this is how things should be natural. So we can stop right there, or we can bring the slide back at the end of it. Okay. There are a few more points. Okay, is robbery the only form of stealing? How many different ways can you steal? Is stealing $1 is bad? Is stealing $100? And do I sin if I want to have a car like my neighbors? Okay, we can get into some of these. Okay, the seventh commandment is very much related to the virtue of justice. Okay, basically, the virtue of justice says that you have to give every man his due. Okay, what is his by right? And by right, we mean the rights that God gives them, not the federal government has the law that says, we're giving this guy this right. Okay, that doesn't work. It's the right by God. Okay. And if somebody has a right, then somebody else has the duty of honoring that right. Okay. So one man's right is another man's duty. So rights can't be taken lightly if they impose a duty on somebody else. Okay. Every person has a right to private property. Okay. It's that of justice, okay? The private property is due to his work. You have a right to the product of your work. Right? So if you make something and it's yours, okay, you have a right to that, right? So everybody has to respect that right and not take it away. The right, however, to property is interesting. It's not absolute. Okay? If I have five loaves of bread, there's a starving guy over here, and he says, I want one. He takes the, okay. And so his right to life, okay, supervenes the wife's right to my property. Right. So there's a hierarchy in the rights that way. I think we talked about the Kelo. Do you remember the Kelo case? And we talked about the, what was it? Forget what the topic was, but back in December we talked about the stealing case. That was a case of a person at home and a developer wanted to have a big development there. Okay, and he went to the city and said, why don't you condemn that home? Okay, so they have to get out of there, and then I'll have this big development there, and you'll have more tax money coming in. Okay, so that'd be for the common good. Okay, look, we'll get more tax money. And if we had more tax money, that's easier, better for everybody. Anyway, that's what the argument was. Okay. And the city actually did that. The person got thrown out of their house. Okay. They gave the property. Okay. So to the developer, who didn't develop it. So it's a little bit of development right now, but not by the person that wanted to have it. Okay. Got the social teaching, that's what I was trying to think. So the private ownership, the key phrase, is private ownership for the common good. Okay, so the stuff that we own, okay, needs to be for the good of everybody. Okay, so a farmer has his farm, okay, he has to intend to it, use it, okay, because it's for the common good to produce the food, right? So the right to your property is. I might say limited. By the way, this is the map. I just got the map on Google. This is the Kelo. This is where the woman lived. They got thrown out of her house. Okay, And this is today's picture, right? And you see the new development there. And there's a little new development here that it was the one hotel, which is not the original plan. It's just, and that was, the Sheila case was in 2005, and this is 2025. So she's been out of her house for 20 years. She's probably still alive. She wasn't that old. She's probably in her 50s. And she got thrown out. That was unfair. So in Virginia now, there's a law that says you can't do that. You can't transfer. Yeah. They can't come in and take away from one person and give it to another person. They can't do that. But if they go to one person, then use it for the government, you might say. So if we look at the sins against the seventh commandment, how many different ways can you violate the seventh commandment? I have 20 of us listed here, 10 here, 10 on the next page. Okay. There are a whole bunch of ways, not just stealing. Government corruption is a way, okay? Because the government then is using your money, okay, for illegal purposes, okay? Tax evasion, if you got your paid tax, okay? I have a friend who you would say cheated on his income tax all the time, okay? And he said, well, the way I look at it, this is what I submit to the government, is the first ploy in the negotiations. We're going to negotiate with how much I owe in taxes, okay? So what I send in to them is, okay, here's what I'm offering to pay you, okay? And if they take it, good. If they don't, okay, they come back and say, no, you can't do that. Okay, so what can they do? Most of the time, they don't come back. So that's kind of evaded the tax, kind of. I got to admit that when I set up my business, I read all the IRS rules and all to figure out. I didn't want to hire an attorney to do it all. So I read all the book that's coming from the IRS. And I shaded everything in my favor. Right? So, for example, my kids all went to private schools, to college, and it was an expense against the company. Because I had all employees got their kids' tuition paid. Right, and that was permissible. I got a little bit of an argument from an accountant. I said, no way, I know that GE is doing that. They give their kids. Okay. So I got to be able to do it. And he said, all right, right. They changed that law since then. So my last kid, actually, I had to pay tuition. So I had to pay it, but at least it was an expense of the company. And damaging private and public property, that obviously, the things are just common sense things, right? I mean, overcharging, price gouging is always a curious one because I don't know how you determine that it's gouging or not. cheating on tests, things like that. Okay, those are all ways of stealing, they don't seem like stealing off the back, but they're ways of cheating. Just another 20. I think I have a couple more in the handout. Some of the nice with these, the shoplifting, these, the home crackers in and steal stuff, they need to understand that that's stealing. Okay. So that's one of the big ones of these days. And one of the controversial ones is paying unjust wages. MIT actually has a group that calculates out the living wage. I had a reference in the handout, I think. You can go to the website and find out what's the living wage for Fairfax County, right? Give you some idea. Okay. Living wage for a single person with two children, the living wage is $147,000 a year. The average wage here is like $70,000. Okay. Living wage is different from poverty. I didn't look up what the poverty is. You can also find out what the poverty limit is, but it's about half of that usually. But you think about that. Like my daughter is a single parent with two boys. Okay. She's nowhere near $147,000 a year. She makes like half of that. But anyway, at least that's an attempt to show what somebody is. I'd like to know how they calculate that. what level of living is that? 47,000. Anyway, so you can then argue, okay, it's unjust to pay them less than that. Okay. Consumerism, I think, is a form of stealing, you know, in the sense of excess waste. Okay. Killing for sport, just to go out and kill some deer just because it's fun. Or I had a friend who used to go out and kill gophers, okay, but it was on a farm and they were doing a lot of harm. But he was killing a bunch of sport to save the farm. And then not giving a full day's work, that's the problem here of working at home. Right? They're worried about people that are at home. Are they really, really working? Or are they so distracted that they're not getting, I mean, that is a real problem.
If people are honest,
we could all work at home. That's not manufacturing, but there are kind of jobs around here we could, if people were all honest. Right? But if they all made the seventh commandment, we could all work wherever we would. Okay. Anytime that you violate the seventh commandment, you have to make restitution. Okay? That means you have to give money back. If you steal money, you have to give the money back. Okay? That's to be done as soon as possible. Okay? However, if you were to do it and that reveals your identity, like the police, you do not have to do it. Weird people. Okay. Most of the time, that's not a problem. I mean, you can always, mail it to them anonymously or whatever. Okay. And it should go to the rightful owner if possible. Okay. And if not possible, you can't profit from the theft. Okay. So that you have to make restitution to something else. The church is to be typical, maybe for the poor people, or something like that. When I was a kid, I wasn't the ideal kid. I would go to the parking lots and steal the caps off the tire inflator things. I just go on through the little room. Yeah, didn't do any damage to the car, of course, but I just, had a collection of them. And so finally I started to feel guilty about it, and so I went to told the priest in confession, and he said, we have to make restitution. I said, what? The cars aren't there. I don't know which car it goes which with. I had no way doing it. He says, okay, well, how much does that cost? Well, that time was 5 cents a piece. He says, okay, you have to put that money in the poor box. Okay. So that was, I had to go count. I've had lots of reasons to go to confession. That was one of them. That was one of the early ones. I was probably 10 years old. Okay. So how serious is the sin of stealing? Okay, the Virginia Code says that grand larceny is more than $5 from a person, more than $1,000 from another entity, like a business or something like that. Okay, for that you get one year in jail, and that's usually a felony. Okay, Virginia Code, the same code, the next section up, is deep larceny. Okay, that's less than those amounts. Okay, and there's no time in jail. But should the seriousness of sin be dependent on what the government says is the seriousness? Right? No, we need to look for God's guidance on that. Right? So what do you think? When is stealing a mortal sin, a really serious sin? If I steal 1 cent, $1, $10, $100, $1,000 today's wage. What do you think? come on.
A thousand? All of them?
Uh-huh. They're mortal sins. Do you steal a sin?
Well, if you're doing it knowingly, if you're knowingly stealing from someone,
there's the intention behind it.
Yeah.
What's that?
The intention behind it, regardless of the amount.
Interesting. Okay. The guidelines the church was forward, at least when I was a kid, is a day's wage. Okay.
So, you want to make sure that you steal from Elon Musk.
Yeah.
That's the kind of good Catholic advice.
So you steal a little bit less than his daily wage, and it's a venial sin. that's a good thing, right? In the sense that if a person, a poor person, okay, and I steal his daily wage, that's really a problem, right? Because you might starve him to death by stealing that, right? So that's a better measure than having an absolute number. I think it's really strange that the loss is $5 for the person. I mean, that's really a low number, I would think. These days, anyway. I don't know if it's corrected for inflation or not. So when is a sin not a sin? Okay. It used to be, until 1960s or so, we used to talk about things being sins, right? Like if I steal something, that's a sin. But if you look now and you read about that, say, no, it's objectively morally wrong. Or it's grave or not grave. Okay. I kind of object to those words because it kind of muddies the water a bit. Okay. But the reason that they did that, getting away from calling it a sin, because we don't know whether it's a sin because it depends on the person's intention. Okay. How aware were they or whatever. Right? So we can't really judge a person, you can only judge the act. Okay. He took something that didn't belong to him. Okay. It used to be they would say that was a sin. Now they say that that's objectively morally wrong. Because the sin means you'd be implying that the person committed a sin, whereas for me they took it and they didn't even know it. Okay. You didn't know the condition of the person. Okay. So we can judge the act and not the person. So then the question is, okay, where do we get these objective truths or moral standards? Okay. Well, it's common these days, everything's a matter of opinion. Okay. This is called relativism, depends on you, depends on what your mood is, and all that kind of stuff, right? And that's really been condemned by the church, okay, and yet it's really common. Okay. It's what's true to him, what's true to you, you have your truth, you have your standards, you have your own standards, okay. Okay, that's relativism. Okay. Politicians, which they civil law, they think the civil laws, right? They try to legislate morality. Did you ever hear the word, you can't legislate morality? Did you ever hear that before? You're too young. I was teaching at the University of Delaware from 1965 to 1975. And that was the big thing, okay? Because the university was putting out these law rules about, you know, dorm life and stuff like that, okay? And the students are all screaming out, you can't legislate morality. These days, the only moral standards that you find out in civil society are laws. They do go by the, you know, grand larceny things, right? As to whether it's serious or not, right? So, in the political sense, this isn't just politicians, but in the political sense, the civil laws, okay? Where we see, hear them all, okay, but it's the right thing to do. I think they're saying, what's your standard? Okay. You know, Barack Obama used to use that all the time. I've heard Donald Trump using that word, that phrase, because it's the right thing to do. But they don't tell you where they're getting that, where that standard is coming from. The end of the Bible is that in Judges, okay, actually a couple places out, where they talk about when the Jews were going wrong, it says every man did what was right in his own eyes. So even back then, we had that subjectivism. Whatever you think is right, whatever you think is wrong, okay, it's all up to you. Okay, that was condemned. Instead, we find in the Bible, do that which is right in his eyes, God's eyes. Okay, that's where the standard comes in, because it's in Exodus 15. So, it's important to know what God wants, but that was the case. Now, how serious is sin? Okay. Did you have this report in here? Did you talk about moral sin? What constitutes a moral sin?
Yeah, we talked about it.
So then you know. Okay. The three things that are necessary, right, for sin to be mortal. If one of these is missing, it's not a moral sin. Okay. It has to be seriously wrong or grave, you know, what we used to call mortal sin. Okay.
That's my fault.
Sorry. Okay. The person committed the evil must be aware that it's seriously wrong, and then he must do it freely. He can't be forced to do it. Okay. So he has to freely. That's the matter of his free will. And Baldwin Catechism says that, you know, for sin to make sin mortal, you notice that Baldwin Catechism says to make a sin mortal. It doesn't say to make a, you know, grave matter. It's a big long phrase, okay. It's nice, concise. Make a sin mortal. Three things are necessary. The gravest matter, sufficient reflection, and full consent. What I like to say is, it has to be seriously wrong, you must know it's wrong, and you do it anyway. That's, those are the three things that are necessary for the sin to be mortal. Of course, if you die, mortal sin, your soul, you go to hell. For us, that's not for us to judge, okay? We can only judge the action, not the person. We can never say, well, no, that person went to hell, look what they're doing. No, 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 you can't do that. You can't do it, but you're in trouble. Okay, so how is serious sin? This is the same chart, except I got it all. That doesn't mean income to us, it's just 365. So Elon Musk, he's not getting paid anything right now. So he's earning zero, so you can't steal from him because he's already doing nothing. Everything his income is passive income, right? So it's not income divided by 365 days. It's the daily wage. His wage is zero right now. We're really talking about day's wage. How much he earns a day, right? That's the criteria. I still think that's the best criteria. Okay. So we talked about Catholic social principles in December. Okay, just an overview. Remember the three principles there: the personal principle, all humans have an elective free will; we're all made in God's image and likeness; okay, we're sacred, we're centered in someone's created order. Okay, so that has to be recognized. Solidarity, we're all in this together; okay, we're here in the world together. Subsidiarity, the rights and responsibilities to be exercised at the lowest, most local organization. Trump is doing that, right? He wants to do away with the education department, okay? Because he wants to go to the States, okay? That's actually, you know, better this way. Even better would be to the county, right? And most, the best would be to the parents, right? So you want to make this look responsible. Right? So it's ranked from family, which means the lowest, to the United Nations, which would be the worst. So the world, courts are a problem, right? So far away. Okay. So, waging the seventh commandment. Okay, the company must not steal from the worker. Okay, so pay enough. Okay, the worker must not steal from the company. But work hard. More examples of stealing that we don't think about stealing. we talked about employer responsibilities, what a just wage is. The theory here is the business is not profitable enough to pay a just wage, then it should go out of business. Okay. It probably would go out of business. And this is the living wage calculation. I think it's a pretty good set of things. That's what I think. $140,000 per year for one wage earner and two children. It's just a terrible amount of money, I think. Okay, and then our responsibility is to work. So also, when we talk about Catholic social principles, we put in the corporate works of mercy and spiritual works of mercy, just to bring that back up. Okay, here's this area, the accomplice, okay? What happens when we cooperate with evil? What if you know the guy's about the rubber bank, right? And, well, so it gets kind of easy. There's it's sinful or formal. Cooperation is sinful if it's formal. In other words, if you're driving the getaway car, if the guy's driving the bank, okay, you're really participating in it, okay? So you're guilty of saying it's the guy robbed, actually the building robbed, okay? If we're encouraging, we're not hindering, okay, then we are guilty of the same sin. Okay, let's deal with it. Protecting the thief, okay, not revealing his identity, or, you know, okay, that then you're guilty of the same sin as the thief. Okay. So you must rather bank your record yourself. But it may not, so if it's formal like that, okay, so it's very an important part of the sinful act, okay. It's death is the easiest way to divide it. This is true not just in the seventh commandment. Okay. If you're actually participating in it, and it is that closely, then you're committed to sin too. Okay. It may be sinless, may not be sinless also. If it's only material, this is called formal cooperation, material cooperation. Okay, so it's sinful if it's proximate to that. So if you went to the bank and disabled the alarm, make sure the guy commit rob it, okay, then you're part of it, okay. So even though you didn't participate in the actual action, okay, you enabled it. And seriously sin and seriously with that, okay. So you're suing a penny. If you find a penny and you don't return it, or don't ask, do they but this is a penny? Okay. That's not the serious sin. And if you're far enough away, like suppose you're at a diner and these guys are talking about robbing the bank, okay, and you serve them their breakfast, right? Okay, that is still material, but now you're remote. And so then it is not your sin to give them breakfast or to fail to put poison in or some, you know, laxative in there so they can't. So if it's far enough away, one of the ways of looking at it is if it's important to the sinful act, okay, then you're participating in sin and you're guilty of the same sin. If it's not important, okay, because they can eat the breakfast someplace else, or okay, they do not eat breakfast, okay, then you're not involved in the sin. All right. The last thing, frequently involves the principle of double effect. Here's the principle of double effect. This means when you have a mix of good and bad stuff. Okay. So the act that you're doing, that's the okay. So the act of giving breakfast to the people, that's okay. Right. So it has to be either good or a neutral. Serving the breakfast is a neutral act, okay, not moral. Issue. The morally effect must be avoided if reasonably possible. Okay, so if you could, some of you talk about you're giving this practice, you say, well, you guys shouldn't be robbing banks. Okay. So you could do, you might be able to do something to avoid it. Or you can call the police. So they'd rather rob a bank. Okay, and then the effect must be regretted. Okay, so what you're doing is, I don't know how you can say, but disabling the burglar alarm. I guess if you were working on it to fix it, okay, and you didn't succeed in doing it or something, that whatever you're doing, this gets actually the problem of the person is, I always think that if somebody comes in and robs, you have a store that that your whole livelihood is based on that store, okay, and somebody comes in to rob it, right? To take your stuff, okay? This is my livelihood, okay? What can I do to stop it? These days, the way the civil law is written, you can't do anything. That's why you see these smash and bang when they go in, they rob the whole place, okay? According to civil law, you can't close the door so they can't get out because that's restraint, okay? You can't do that. You can't shoot them, okay? And so when they're having these big riots, when they're burning down whole businesses, okay, you could not do anything to stop them from doing it. To me, that's outrageous. Right? To me, if the store, you have a store and that's your livelihood, and they just destroyed your livelihood, and I can't do anything about it. There's something That's the civil law, you're not committing unjustly. But if you were actually to shoot him so he doesn't do it, okay, then you're going to be murdered. I really do think that's the law. If you could shoot him, that would stop. No longer would we have these big robbers going. Okay. You shoot him. But anyway, there's the case of, for example, shooting them, okay? The morally evil act of shooting and maybe entering them or killing them, okay? That's to be regretted, not intended. I don't intend to kill them, I don't intend to stop them from stealing. Okay. The good effect cannot be anything. If anybody means an evil effect, in other words, you can't use the answer to find the means. Okay, that I stopped the robbery. Okay, I killed them, I stopped the robbery. you cannot do that. So you can shoot him in the legs, but you can't get away. That's different. Okay, and then the good does most outweigh the evil one. Okay, so this is a big thing, proportion. Okay, that's why you cannot. That's really why you can't shoot the guy if the guy's out in the front line yelling at you. You can't out shoot him. Because then the good done that you stop him from yelling at you, okay, this does not outweigh the evil done. This is a big thing in warfare. Okay, that should we go to war in Ukraine or not? Okay, does the good done outweigh the evil done? That's a really sticky issue in any war, as to whether that's.
Whether it's in proportion or not.
These are the things that you look at when you're playing principle double effect. Two things are happening. what is the proportion? Is it proportional? This is where all the debates. Okay. So let's look at the 10th commandment. The 10th commandment forbids greed. Greed means the desire to amass all the earthly goods you possibly can. Right? Avarice, the love of riches, where not only do you amass it, but you just love it. Before I die, I want to get all my money in pennies. And I'm going to pile up the pennies, and I'm just going to jump in. That's avarice. Yeah, jealousy, that's the desire to keep earthly goods. This is really strange. We handed out the examination of conscience to the CCD kids tonight. And this is not what that, how they use the word jealousy. Jealousy means that I'm like coveting. I want something that somebody else has. Right? For example, gee, I wish I had that Mercedes-Benz car instead of my old Hyundai. To my way of thinking, that's what jealousy is. Okay. Well, tell me how then there's a jealous God. Everything is his. Right? And yet the Bible talks about the jealous God. So, in that sense, jealousy means you have a desire to keep what you have. God's a jealous God. He had the Jews. Again, he wanted the Jews. He wanted to keep them. He didn't want to lose them. Okay. So this is if you look up in the dictionary, I looked in the very Merriam-Webster dictionary, and that's what it says, the desire to keep what you have. But in the examination of conscience, it's more like coveting. But I want to have what the other guy has. But yet, the sin of wanting to have what the other guy has is not necessarily really that act is not necessarily a sin. Okay? Because I would like to have something better than I have. That's not a sin. Right? Now, if it gets obsessive, okay, so I want to have something better than I have, so I'm gonna do that's different. Right? That becomes a sin. But just wanting to have something better than you have is not a sin. So the word jealousy is just depends on how it's used, I guess. Now, envy is different, okay? Because envy means that sorrow that somebody else is better off. Okay. I really hate that guy because he has a Mercedes-Benz and I just left him with a Hyundai. Right. That's bad. That's envy. Right. That is a sin. And that's a really a bad sin. That's serious and grave matter. So, you know, kind of the opposite of envy is to say, I'm so happy the good guys won, right? That's the opposite. So envy is simply opposed to charity. Adam and Eve would be like God. They were envious of God. They wanted to be good and evil, right? Okay. So that envy comes from pride. Okay? I want to have, I want to be better. Okay? So the best solution then to envy is practicing humility. Being satisfied with what you have, pretty much. Alright. So envy is actually considered a capital sin. Okay? It's the hinge in which many other sins turn. Okay? Like hatred, I hate that guy because he has a Mercedes-Benz, okay? I tell my neighbors that, you know, he actually stole it. Right? That's the attraction for calumny. Okay. And envy involves the joy caused by the misfortune of the neighbor. I deserve that. displeasure because of his prosperity. Okay. Where's your great home? Okay. These are all moral sins. St. Augustine said envy is the diabolical sin because it's the sin that the devil induced Adam and Eve. Right? Read that tree over there and you'll know good and evil. Right? The diabolical sin. So, I think these are things that it's common sense kind of stuff. Okay. So good advice is this. Trust God to meet your needs. Don't want much. Okay, be poor in spirit. Be detached from things of the earth. Okay, be willing to give up all your possessions if God asks for that. Okay? Bless for the poor in spirit. That's what it means. This is what it means by poor in spirit. When you're poor in spirit, willing to give it up, not so attached to it. When you get to be my age, you're going to find that your house is cluttered with stuff. Okay. All the stuff that I don't want to lose, I don't want to go, I don't put in the trash. And I should. I say, one of the hardest things I ever did was to give up my notes, 10 years worth of teaching at college level. And I knew I was never going to teach this stuff again. I said, well, maybe somebody would find it valuable and have to say, nobody's going to care about this. They're going to have their own notes. And throwing them out was I was attached to those things. You probably have. You have a warehouse full of stuff you probably didn't look at. On your computer, though. The stuff that I had was taking up space. Because I used to work diligently. Use your time wisely. I'm always amazed that when I watch, I'd hardly ever watch TV. I'm always amazed. I watch TV, okay. I'll watch like basketball games, right? That's 3 hours gone by. I haven't done anything. I just sit here and watch this thing. I could have been, reading a holy book or repairing things around the house or something like that. Just use your time wisely. Don't do that. This is some advice from Father Frederick Faber. Whatever is in your heart will eventually appear on your tongue. Meaning whatever you're really thinking about, it's like the 10th commandment, I go to recite the Mercedes-Benz, and I keep that in my heart, but that eventually it's going to come out my action. Right? Maybe saying something bad about the person, or, So it's important to keep your heart clean. All right, I think that's the end. In summary. But the summary is... Don't steal, but don't even think about it. So seek justice, okay? Give every man his due, respect the person and the property of others, don't steal, cheat, so forth. A little story on cheating. When I was, I was a sophomore at Villanova, taking engineering, and I was working on an exam, and it was the honor system. And the honor system is that the teacher has all the honor, and the students have all the system. Okay? And there was one guy who was notorious for cheating. He would get up in this honor system, oh great, the teacher's going, he'd go around and he'd fill out his whole his test. by copying answers from other people, right? Even in college, right? In a Catholic college, in fact. And I always probably shouldn't have been happy about it, but anyway, he went off to work. He got fired after 6 months. He didn't know what he was doing. Since you can see, he's got a lot to him. And if you want to, like, if you violate the sixth commandment by cheating with your spouse, if you didn't think about that being a mortal sin, then go see Fatal Attraction. That'll tell you that you've never seen that movie. That will scare you from ever thinking about cheating, even if the fear of hell doesn't do it. See these and don't even think about violating them. Okay? Don't worry about keeping up with appearances at all. Okay? And really trust God. Trust God for taking care of you. That's the hardest thing to do. I was telling the students today, I don't know if the story of King Hezekiah and the Assyrians. In Jerusalem, he was surrounded by the Assyrians. They were going to attack and kill them all. They said they did in those days. And King Hezekiah was a good king. Prayed for deliverance. And he was absolutely hopeless. The battle started. All the Assyrians got sick. And they went home. So no matter how grim things look, God's still there. So trust God. The biggest thing. Can you get the bank? Trust God. All his life. All right. Any questions? Okay, they all throw it away. Want to add anything?
I think you covered. Unless there's any questions. It was good advice about stealing from Elon.
Not now. You have to wait to back by earning money.
Right, yeah.
You get the passive income is not included.
Right.
Stealing from Trump, that might be pretty good. Or a CEO.
There's no questions, and if you could close us with a prayer, please.
Awesome. I really ask you really to strengthen us, just to strengthen us permanently by trusting you. Trusting that you'll take care of us. We ask you to help us to keep in touch with you, keep on your side, and being prayerful, and ready to receive your grace. So that we can follow you more closely. We ask you to follow in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Fred. Everyone have a good week. Like I said at the beginning, I will be getting an email out in the next couple of days with all the details about Vigil Day and also information about confession for those of you who are already baptized. So stay tuned for that. If you have any other questions, just reach out and let me know. Have a great week, everyone.